It was one of those Thanksgiving snowfalls that you just never forget. Snow everywhere. Snow filled the atmosphere. Snow buried the earth. Snow took control and paused everything for as far as you could see, and there was silence. Sound was absorbed in a cold, frozen, overwhelming texture of white. A little boy stood in the family room at the glass sliding door to the deck, a young foreigner to snow, but his two-year life was about to be changed forever. It was dark outside. He didn't have any idea of what he was about to see. He didn't have any idea that his young mind was about to be fully overloaded with discovery. And in the dark, his mother had maneuvered herself out onto the deck's 2 feet of snow to video the event with her cell phone. Dad was in charge of the sliding door, ready for a quick opening to the snowy world. And Uncle was at the light switch to light the deck. And the little boy's aunt was ready to lift her nephew out into the strange new world of twinkling ice and frozen softness. And then it happened. In perfect timing, the deck lights went on. Mom started recording, the sliding door swept open, and a two-year-old was delivered from the warm world that he knew into a world that he had never before seen. The moment, it was wondrous. His eyes opened wide as he could open them so that they could take it all in. His mouth was opened to a giant O, and the little guy stood motionless, paralyzed. It's just so much for a two-year-old. How deep is 2 feet of snow on a two-year-old? He blinked and twitched each time a snowflake tapped his face, and just behind his wide eyes, his small two-year-old world was wondrously absorbing it all. White, cold, floating, sparkling. Freezing, melting, smiling. It was so much to take in, so overwhelming that he simply fell into the snow. A slow motion landing in deep pillows of whiteness. It was as if the snow was now entirely hugging him. The little guy had given up trying to understand snow and had given in to just experiencing the snow. Truly, a moment of wonder. That two-year-old's true sense of wonder caused him to surrender to the snow by falling into it, not to understand it, but to simply experience it. And for a moment, the little boy came face to face with life at full force. It was so much to soak up that he didn't know whether to cry or laugh, to be afraid or happy. But one thing's for sure, it was wondrous for that little guy. He may have experienced what it must have been like that first moment in creation garden when Adam and Eve's eyes couldn't grasp the staggering beauty of God's new creation. Or he may have experienced what it must have been like when Jesus caused the scales to fall from the blind man's eyes and the explosion of sight and color saturated his brain for the first time. Or when Jesus caused the leper to feel a surge of heat and static course through his body, and his withering flesh became brand new, like the skin of a little two-year-old baby boy. Or when the bitter, hopeless prostitute looked up, fully expecting judgment and stones and certain death, and instead heard the voice of Jesus and words of forgiveness and life. Or As Bob Chamberlain told me a few years ago, just after he had taken a fall, he said, "In recent years, I've sent up a lot of short prayers of thanks for little things I'm thankful for. And even when something not so good happens, I'm thankful that it wasn't worse." And Doc told me, "I'm happier having this sense of gratitude all the time." Wondrous. Thankful moments, holy moments, God moments, Jesus moments, to be in the presence of God, frightened and amazed at the same time, to gratefully experience the whole source of this, the very source of all of life itself, but you and your soul are shaking like a leaf in a hurricane. Holy moments. To be in close, dangerous proximity to Jesus. Holy moments of sincere gratitude when life explodes with risk and danger, with meaning and a true sense of wonder. Wondrous moments when faith is gloriously dangerous, and thankfully, that same faith is our only safety. Imagine being with Jesus, not knowing whether to cry or laugh, but deciding to just be thankful and experience the wonder of the Son of God, the wonder of Jesus Christ. When I remember the story about that little person experiencing snow for the first time, I remember also an incident in Jesus' life when he called a little child to come closer to him and then said to the adults, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And it's true. I still with those little girls all the time. I really could sit on my stool with those little girls all morning long and just listen to them, watch them. Just watch them watch me. I experienced that very thing visiting Russian orphanages. I'm thankful for every moment that I experienced Jesus, but I've never experienced Jesus the way I experienced him in Sergeyev Posad at two orphanages for sick children and blind and deaf children. If I didn't learn anything else, I learned that if you want to experience Jesus, go to where Jesus is needed the most. It will be where Jesus is needed that you will find him. The beauty and innocence of those children, the warmth and light and welcome and love, Jesus as I had never experienced before, a true sense of wonder for which I will ever be thankful. I wonder, what would happen if we all took Jesus' advice and became like little children? It could be a foundation for a truly thankful heart. I wonder if that's even possible for you and me. I hope so. Why then don't more of us experience life in this way? Maybe we allow obstacles to squelch our wonder, even steal our gratitude and our joy and even our souls. I was first exposed to the late Robert Capon, an Episcopal priest, when I was in seminary. He wrote in his book, The Astonished Heart, "We are in a war between dullness and astonishment. The most critical issue facing Christians is not abortion, pornography, the disintegration of the family, drugs, racism, sexuality, or even school prayer. The critical issue today," he says, "is dullness. We've lost our astonishment. The good news is no longer good news, he says. It's okay news. Christianity is no longer life-changing. It's life-enhancing. Jesus doesn't change people into wide-eyed followers. Jesus, disciples filled with wonder and gratitude anymore. He changes them into nice people. And then Capon faces the reader with the question, are we really interested in a Christianity that is simply about being nice? What happened to the Christianity that turned the world upside down, that spread through the first century like wildfire and was considered by those in power dangerous? Christians whose hearts were on fire, who spoke their faith no matter the consequence, who bothered the world's conscience and made the world uncomfortable, who were willing to follow Jesus and who just couldn't get over his amazing grace. Somewhere along the way, we had the child chased out of us. Our childlikeness is sometimes snuffed out by people who tell us what we can't do. Matthew's gospel today gives us an example. Jesus' disciples, new to the faith, were giddy with the excitement of following Jesus. They were clueless and naive, yet filled with awe and wonder and hungry, they began to tromp through a field picking food to eat. And suddenly their desires were attacked by Pharisees yelling, "Hey, what are you doing? You can't work on the Sabbath. Religion is about rules and regulations, and you're being irresponsible." They might as well have said, "Look, religion should not make you full of life. It should be serious business. Religious is about keeping the rules. Learn where the lines are. Now obey the Sabbath and behave like the rest of us, and we'll give you another chance." And then, in effect, Jesus said to them, "You can have your rules. I'll keep giving people a wondrous and adventurous faith." What he actually says was, "Something greater than the temple is here, for I am the Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus, the one who loves us the most, wants us to listen to his dream for us so we can run like children in the fields of his amazing grace. There's a song, it's a spiritual that the chancel choir sings sometimes. It's entitled, "Give Me Jesus." And don't worry, I'm not going to sing. But here's the highlights of the text of that song. "In the morning when I rise, when I am alone, when it's time to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus." Shouldn't that be our prayer? Give me Jesus. What if we reaffirmed our faith in the one who loves us the most and reset ourselves to take Jesus to be our center, our home, our purpose, our example, and our vision? Shouldn't that be our prayer? Give me Jesus. What if we allow the wonder and amazing grace of Jesus to completely embrace us every moment of every day? Kimberly Lira shared her story in her article, "Your church needs this more than it needs a new coffee bar." And she writes, "I've been seeing a lot of churches boast cool, trendy new initiatives. I've seen pictures of coffee bars that resemble Starbucks, stage lighting that resembles Broadway. I have read catchy sermon titles and have seen how preachers have brought the movies into their sermons. But she says the real need is changed lives. She tells a story of how after 2 years of steadily failing health, bad news after bad news, and ultimately suffering paralysis, her young husband and the father of her two children died. And Kimberly writes, "He never said how much he appreciated the coffee bar at the church. Never once did he say he loved the lighting in the sanctuary. He never told me how cool the graphics and props were on the platform. He talked about Jesus. He quoted scriptures. He reminded me of sermons we had heard. And in the middle of the night, he sang songs of praise and worship to God. And he spent his time praying, because nothing a church does to strategize to bring in members helps you in the time of the storm. It's only Jesus that helps." And through it all, and even to this day, Kimberly says, "I am believing that all my strength comes solely from God. I scroll down my social media feed and I see churches with pictures doing trendy things. I want to see how Jesus has changed a person's life. I want to see the power of prayer. I want to see how the Word of God can be applied to one's life. I want to see how Jesus can help the hurting. I want to see how Jesus can heal the sick. I want to hear how the brokenhearted was restored. I want to see how the mourners were comforted. I want to see how lives were restored. Rather than posting pictures of coffee bars, I would rather see testimonies of the power of God." And then she says, "I am thankful that I attend a church that focuses on prayer and the Word of God. I am thankful that in one of the darkest moments of my life, I knew I could count on others to pray for me and with me." In a day when many are tired, worn out, thirsty, and starving for life and joy and peace, maybe it's time to become a child again and feel again the wondrous love of Jesus and His mercy and His grace. Maybe it's time to be thankful and to live this wonder of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Maybe it's time to play in the snow again. In the morning when I rise, when I'm alone, when it's my time, give me Jesus. Amen.